Now, if you'll open your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter number 13. If you keep up with what we say, I was to have had a four-week series of sermons. The first one on Sunday night in John 13, week 2, 14, week 3, 15, and week 3, 16. And here we are in week 3, and I'm still in John chapter 13. So I've not done very well, but actually this is a great portion of Scripture. And I thought all week, what is going to be a good way to kind of get into what Jesus was commanding his disciples to do in the upper room on that night before his crucifixion the next day? He gives them a command. And I thought, well, you know, perhaps the best way to get into this would be to say, think about this a moment. All of us love some people more than we love other people. That doesn't mean that we're showing partiality, but it's just the bottom line. That's how it is. And then I think about Jesus. You know, he had these 12 apostles, and out of the 12 apostles, there were three of those 12, Peter, James, and John, that had some special connection with Jesus. And then out of that little threesome, the Apostle John, something very special about the Apostle John. When I read the Gospel of John, I showed you the verse last week, but over in John chapter 19, when Jesus was hanging on the cross and he looked and he saw his mother, and he said to his mother, "This is your son," talking about the Apostle John. And he said to the Apostle John, "This is your mother." So he trusted the Apostle John care of his mother. And then five times in the Gospel of John, the Bible talks about how John was a friend. He said a disciple whom Jesus loved. So there was something very special about that. But then if you look with me tonight, it's very interesting, John chapter 13. Let's look down about verse 31. Now, Judas has just taken the bread, and he has gotten up, and he's left the room. And, in fact, if you look at verse 30, it says, "Having received the piece of bread, he," that's Judas, "went out immediately, and it was night." Now, so we have in the upper room now, we have Jesus without Judas and his disciples. Verse 31 says, "When he had gone out," that is Judas, "Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I've said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come, so now I say to you." And then we come to verse 34, and he gives this command. It's not a suggestion, not an idea, not something he kind of hopes they will do. It is a command. Look at it in verse 34. The Bible says, "A new commandment," this is Jesus talking, "a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." And these next five words make this commandment very different. It's a game changer. And here those five words are, "As I have loved you, that you also love one another." And then in verse 35, Jesus went on to say, "By this," by what? By loving one another as he has loved them. He says, "By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, here's the commandment. You know, we talk about at Easter time, the Maundy, Thursday service, and you may want to mark in your Bible, it's in verse 34. In our English Bible, a new commandment, that's where we get the Latin word Maundy, and this is what it's talking about. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, here's the question. What makes this a new commandment? What makes this a new commandment? It's not the only time the Lord Jesus has told the disciples and followers that they're to love people. Well, put your bulletin perhaps where we are and turn back with me in the Gospel of Matthew, and I'll show you real quickly and easily what makes this a new commandment. And it's a very intriguing thing. Matthew chapter 22, and I wait a moment for you to find it. If you look down with me in verse 34 and following, this lawyer asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And he said so and asked him so to test him. He was really not wanting to know the answer to that. He was trying to trick Jesus. And if you look in here's his question, verse 36, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And in verse 37, Jesus said to him, here it comes, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And then in verse 39, now here, watch carefully. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now here, Jesus is talking about that believers are to love their fellow man. And look how he says they're to love them. They are to love them as they love themselves. So however much I love myself, however much you love yourself, Jesus says that's how you are to love your brothers and your sisters and all mankind. Now, go back where you have your bulletin in John chapter 13, because it's very, very different. It's a much higher level of love. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And those five words change everything about this commandment. What Jesus is saying is, look, first of all, he's telling the disciples, here's what you're to do. You're to love one another. That is, other believers. This is not talking about mankind in general. Back in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus talking about mankind in general. He says, you're to love mankind in general as you love yourself. But in the Gospel of John, in this upper room in chapter 13 that we're reading tonight, this commandment that Jesus gave is, look, as I have loved you, you are to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now that is quite a thing. It's a higher level of love. And that's what I want us to think about tonight. It's powerful and it's very practical. And let me mention a couple of things. First of all, Jesus loved his disciples unselfishly. And if you're taking any kind of notes, you might want to just write down that little word, unselfishly. For example, Jesus had nothing to gain from them. There was nothing he could learn from them. Not at all. And there's a great lesson in that. And we're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to love one another as Christ has loved us. And this is a marvelous thing. Fellow Christians should love this way. They love one another, not because of what they can get from them, but because of the good that they can do for them. And you know, this is one of the most important things in kingdom work, is this whole matter of unity. It's people, Christian people, saved people, born again people, loving one another as Christ has loved those that are his. Now, I mentioned our trip to Guadalajara, Mexico. And you remember some Sundays ago, we had Julio here as one of our worship leaders on Sunday morning. And it was a marvel, in fact, on Sunday night as well. And when Jimmy introduced him that morning, I'm sitting over here listening to that. I'd never met Julio. I'd heard about him, but I'd never met him. And Jimmy said a very interesting thing. He said, Julio not only is a worship leader, he is a pastor. And when he said that, I thought, well, now that's an unusual combination. And he said he's a pastor down in Mexico, Guadalajara, Mexico. Well, you know, I was just enjoying his music leadership that morning, and all those that were partnering with him in that. It was just a great, great morning and night of worship. But at the end of the second service, I said to Julio, I know you've got to sing more tonight and your voice can just do so much, but would you have any time before the service tonight that you and I maybe could do a little video while you're here? I'd kind of like to ask you some questions, and I just felt drawn to doing that. And when I did that video, it was the most remarkable thing that I'd ever listened to. Julio had been the worship leader for 5 years with Ronnie Floyd in Arkansas and oversaw the music worship of 5 different campuses. And he felt God leading him and his wife, Carla, to Guadalajara, Mexico. And he left all of that, 3 children, and went back. And so the more I thought about that, I just felt the Spirit of God saying, you know, you keep trying to find what it is that maybe might be one of the things God has for our church that would really touch souls. I keep saying that over and over. The church is in the world to reach souls. Could I have an amen for that? Now, we want to do good. We want to help people. We want to feed people. We want to clothe people. All these things, and we do. We do our part in many, many ways. But if we just do all of that, and there's nothing about their soul, all we're really doing is feeding people and clothing people and helping people so they can journey on to hell. And so God's really convicted me about that. And I've been meeting with these different ministries that we support and sharing my heart. And they're very open to, you know, doing what they can, but there are things we can do. So I just felt and I wanted Tom to go with me because Tom kind of oversees our mission work. And so we did. And it was absolutely an unbelievable experience. In fact, the very thing I'm talking about tonight, like, we are to love our brothers and sisters in Christ as Christ loved his own. That's what he said. That is the new commandment. Okay, we go down, and it was nonstop, to say the least. And I probably overdid it, to say the really least, okay? And I preached that night, and many of you streamed that service live. It was a fantastic service. There were some 10 or 12 people that raised their hand to be saved in that service. And I led the prayer to be saved. There was another 8 or 10 people that raised their hand to settle their salvation. And I led another prayer in that. But be that as it may, let me tell you what I saw. First of all, I saw Julio and his wife, Carla, just loving those people. It was the most amazing thing. They knew everybody. They knew everybody in the family. And as they begin to come, now they start church. Are you ready for this? On Wednesday night, they start the service at 8:30 at night. I was to get up to preach at 9 o'clock at night. I'm normally in the bed at 9 o'clock at night. And we had just gone all day. I mean, everywhere you could take us, Julio took us. And then we're going to have this church service at 8:30 at night, and I'm going to preach at 9 o'clock. And he said, it'll, you know, get the thing over about 9:30. And what happened to me, about 15 minutes into that sermon, I began to start winding it down, and he figured out what I was doing, and he said, no, don't quit now. Preach on. That's like throwing raw meat to a dog. I think this is what happened. I preached on. That's what I did. But anyway, I saw the people loving each other. It was just the most amazing. It was like a love feast. This was before church ever started. And then when church was over, like nobody goes home. They just all stay around for another 30, 45 minutes, and they just hug one another. In fact, Julio had told me before we got there, he said, now when we get there, the people are going to come in, and all the ladies, he said, listen, this is the way we do here. They're going to come up and put their cheek on your cheek, and you need to do the same thing, or they'll think you're being rude. He said, now don't do that to a man. And he explained why, but I'll not go into that. Okay. So I shook the men's hand, and I put up like, and the little children would just come up and hug you, hugging one another. And then I just saw the passion that Julio has to reach people in Guadalajara, Mexico, a population of about 1.7 million people. And he shared this with us the Sunday he was here. It might have just kind of shot on by. About 2% of the population of Guadalajara is a born-again believer, evangelical Christian believer. It's unbelievable. They started this church on the second Sunday in September last year. They're going to celebrate their one-year anniversary on September the 9th next month. And they've gone from zero to over 400 coming. And in February, on the other side of Guadalajara, they're starting a second church. And his passion is to start as many churches as possible. He was taking us back to the airport on Thursday. If you think traffic on 45 is something, you need to go to Guadalajara. I mean, that thing's like, it's like a racetrack on 45 compared to me. And they don't give any speeding tickets. You just go as fast as you want to. I would no more drive in Guadalajara than I'd stand on my head. But if we're driving to go to the airport, and as we're going toward the airport, cars are coming to us, and he said something, and tears began to come down his cheek. He said, "You see all those people in those cars coming toward us?" He said, "Think of this. Of every 100 of those people, 98 of those people are going to hell." It just sent chills over me. And I just thought, my gracious, I am seeing an example. You talk about a man unselfish to have left where he was in Springdale, Arkansas, at the church where he had served for 5 years, in the work that he had in that church, pack up. He took Tom and myself to their little apartment where they live. And it's a very humble little place, and it's okay, but it would not be anything like what he left. But that's not what he's all about. And so we're excited. Tom is working, we're working with Julio. We want to get some mission teams to go down there. There are just endless opportunities to go there and present the gospel of Jesus Christ to boys and girls and to adults. And here, you talk about unselfish. Jesus loved his disciples unselfishly. And what we saw down there is the very same thing. But not only that, Christians that love one another, not only unselfishly, but trustingly. Now, if you stop and think about it, and think, Jesus tells these followers of his in verse 34, "New commandment I give up to you, that you love one another as I've loved you." That's big time love. Jesus knew all their weaknesses, and yet he trusted them. And I thought about that. He knows all of your weaknesses. He knows all of my weaknesses. See, God knows everything about us. We all have weaknesses here, there, whatever. But he trusts us. He knows we're not perfect. And he trusted them. Why? Because he knew their heart. That's the whole deal. See, Jesus knows your heart. You know, spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But God knows our heart. We're not all going to be, not any of us, perfect. But yet God trusts us. He trusts us to do his kingdom work. He trusts us with all the resources he's given us and all the potential that we have within the body of Christ we call First Baptist. He trusts us to do everything we can as he gives opportunity to get the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the bottom line is there just must be trust between those who love the same Christ. Think about that. All of us who are Christians, we have one thing in common. We have others, but one of them, we all love the same Christ. There's just one Jesus. We're all different. You have your warts, I have my warts. God knows that, but he trusts us, and he gives us so many opportunities. And the key in kingdom work, and here's where Satan will do anything he can and everything he can to create disunity among the body of believers. I'll not mention the church tonight, but it's on my heart and in my heart, a very special church to me, that they've lost trust in each other. There's no unity. And Satan is applauding because what could be and what has been a mighty work for God. The Christian brothers and sisters, they're not loving one another like Christ loved them. And I just encourage you tonight. I encourage my own self. You know, this is so very, very important. Now, understand something. You cannot do this with all professing Christians. I'm standing here saying Jesus trusts his followers, and I'm saying from that, I think a valid application is we're to do likewise. But understand something. It will not work out 100%. But you have in your heart, just because you don't trust some who have proven to be totally untrustworthy, listen, don't let that lead you to trust none. See, that happens many times. Because we had a bad experience with one, and you just write the whole Christian community off. Don't let that happen to you. But you know the result of obeying this commandment. Look in verse 35. Here's the icing on the cake in verse 35. The result is the most exciting thing about this commandment. And here's what it is. That by this, by what is this? This is loving your brothers and sisters in Christ as Christ loves you. He said, by this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. That's one of the greatest assurance verses in all the Bible. I'm talking about the assurance of your salvation. Do you ever wonder, or do you have maybe family members that wonder, am I really a Christian? I think from time to time that thought probably goes through most. Well, one way to know is right here. You can know this. If in your heart you love brothers and sisters in Christ, not just Baptists, hopefully. Doesn't matter about that. It's those who've placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you love them like Christ loves you, it is a sure proof that you are a born-again believer. Look in verse 35. By this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Father God, I bless you tonight, God. This is a precious portion of Scripture because, God, this is where we live. And there are some brothers and sisters in Christ that are difficult to love. They really are. And I'm sure, God, at times, all of us are difficult to love. We're imperfect. But God, what's in our heart is what matters. And I pray, oh dear God, that we remember that this commandment says that we are to love our brothers and sisters in Christ as Christ has loved and does us. And so, Father, may we just kind of plant this in our mind, embed it in our heart. God, tonight, if there be some here that would say, you know, that quality is just not in my life. It's just not there. And God, there are many professing Christians, if they be honest, would say that quality is just not there. And it spreads out here like a cancer. God, help us understand the issue is not Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or Church of Christ or Presbyterian or Lutheran, Episcopalian or non-denominational or whatever the label might be. God, the issue is Jesus Christ. And God, if we've put our faith and trust in Him, we are brothers and sisters in the same family. We love the same Jesus, and we're to love one another like He has loved us and does. God, if some tonight say, you know, I've never looked at that verse quite like that. That is a true assurance verse. God, if tonight some need to ask Jesus in their heart, may the Holy Spirit put that in their heart. Others, maybe tonight, settle their salvation. May your Spirit put that in their heart. Perhaps, God, some to come and join our church. God, probably for all of us, it's a solemn reminder. We don't really have a choice in the matter. We may not agree with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we're to love all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And help us, God, with your Holy Spirit and your grace, enable us to do that, is my prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.